This is Ben Thomas, head coach of the Cheshire Phoenix.
This is Brett Berman, GM of the London Lions.
I'm BBL commentator Daniel Routh.
This is Josh Steele, the coolest two guard on the planet for the Manchester Giants.
This is Coach Sean Kilmartin, head coach USA Select Basketball. You're listening to two of the baddest broadcasters in basketball, Drew and Jay, and the BBL Show.
My name is Tahir Hadja, and you're locked in to the BBL Show.
You're tuned in to the BBL Show.
BBL Show.
The BBL Show.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 12 now of the BBL Show, the place for all British Basketball League related news. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. How are you, sir?
Feeling fresh, man, at the tender age of 39. I feel like this is like kind of like the last dance. This is the last rodeo before I get to the meat and potatoes of life, right? 40, right? You can attest to that, huh?
Oh, the summit of the mountain, my friend. That is when the wine is fully fine, you know? So you still got 1 year left before you can enjoy the fruits. So you just stay in the middle ground. We are flying solo today for the first time this season. We give you our old favorites of the Lasker Look Back and Player of the Week and couple that with the new Hot Topics and Buy or Sell. We then go one-on-one as we look at the top five players to watch so far in the early season. But first, you know it, it's your social media spy. It's the Marriott Minute. Okay, let's give Mr. Lasker his flowers. He called it. Cheshire Phoenix announced the signing of Larry Austin Jr., a guard that Mr. Lasker said was needed to take the pressure off Teddy O. Time will tell if that's the right move. Jules Dangakodo is back in the league, signing with Surrey Scorchers. Great to see the British guard back so soon. He won't be in Player of the Week contention because, Drew, why?
He didn't win.
You have to win, but we have to find space in the show to give some love to Kofi Joseph's 46-point performance for the Patriots, making him the number one points in a single game for a British-born player and ninth all-time for a points in a single game. So flowers to you, Kofi. His words on the matter is, I'm going to get my respect one way or the other. Mama Frizzle, for those of you that didn't see our Mother's Day special last season, is Dirk Williams of London Lions' mom, tweeted he is being slept on. Mr. Lasker jumped in by pointing out that we all see him as the early season MVP. No sleeping over here, Mama Frizzle. We have got you. To finish, let's give my co-host his birthday love, turning 39 this week, hurtling towards the big 40 like a fine wine. But cue the picture. What is my boy doing on Santa's knee? I died with laughter, a lot of fun, but in November, you've got to have a word for yourself. And that's this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
Good minute, my guy. I mean, well, how is it too early for Christmas? I mean, I always say like the buildup is the best part, right? You get the Christmas day, you eat, you open up the gifts, and then it's like, it's so deflating. It's like it's over. So you got to enjoy the process, man. And the more days that we can enjoy it, the better. So, you know, we need to start getting those Christmas lights up in October, people. Come on now.
Hey, get in the socials, guys. Let us know what you think. Which side of the coin are you sitting? Are you sitting early with Mr. Lasker, or are you sitting with December for Mr. Marriott? We shall see.
And I appreciate all the birthday messages out there. It always feels weird on a birthday to get so much attention, but appreciate everyone who took time out their day to send a message. And what's up with everybody feeling disrespected? Kofi, who's disrespecting you? I mean, all I see is love for you. And Mama Frizzle, everybody sees the big season that your son is having. So I see nothing but love out there, but maybe it's just a way to just make sure that these guys stay motivated and don't get comfortable. So however you can make it work, but
it's time for Hot Takes.
Speaking of Mr. Kofi Joseph, we're going to start off Hot Topics with this fire start to the season this year, and it's very impressive. So far, he's averaging 33 points a game, and I know it's a small sample size, 3 or 4 games, and it's not enough to lead the league as it's not enough games, but it's still really impressive. If we went by the numbers, he would be first, followed by Dirk Williams at 22 and Jordan Johnson at 18. So, you know, do you think he can lead the league in scoring this season?
I mean, can he? Yes, absolutely. And, you know, people get on us for not giving the Patriots enough love. They're improving. You know, Anthony Rowe called it. He said that they're going to improve out there. They're going to keep being competitive. You know, small sample size to see if they can keep it up, because that is one really, really tough effort. And I think I've experienced the highs and lows of basketball. And when you're at the bottom and you're just fighting, and even your good performances is leading to a loss, you know, can you continue that? But Kofi certainly seems motivated. Like you said, I don't know whether he's seeing things that we're not seeing, or whether he felt like people slighted him because last year he chose modeling over the basketball and people felt he wasn't committed to the cause, which is ridiculous. You know, I think for people that know him, and for us on the BBO show, we always talk about people having other things in their life. You know, Mr. Lasker, last year you had an insane schedule and you handled it with class, so it can be done. But yeah, can he lead the league in scoring? Yes, but the problem is when teams start making adjustments and they start keying in on him, can other players step up to take that pressure off him and allow him to keep scoring at that clip? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a great point. I must admit, I haven't watched any Patriots games through full length since he's been there. So, you know, I haven't been able to see exactly how he's getting those points. So like you mentioned, it'd be interesting to see, you know, when he comes back around to the Lions and Riders, how will he adjust? Because we know they're going to take away his main strengths. And so that will be the real test to see how legit the scoring is. But, you know, speaking of legit, it is legit. To me, it's very impressive to come off the street. And I don't know how much he's been doing behind the scenes, but it doesn't matter because nothing translates to being out there on the court. And we always say about getting in game shape, the only way you get in game shape is by playing games, right? He hasn't been playing any games. So to literally walk in a British Basketball League where teams have been together for essentially 2 months and to put up these type of numbers is very impressive. You know, unfortunately, he hasn't been able to get the win. And, you know, that's why he isn't included in the Player of the Week. But his performances cannot be ignored. And I think he mentioned something in a tweet that really stood out to me, and it was basically something along the lights of, you know, it's amazing of how comfortable you can be when you're basically not relying on basketball, because, you know, basketball obviously is in his bread and butter. He has his modeling going on. He's in 3 commercials. He's making money by other ways. So, you know, he's not dependent on a Plymouth Patriots paycheck. So that says a lot, you know what I mean? To when this is the only source of income and you got to perform, that's a different type of level of pressure. So I think, you know, says something has to say about being comfortable. And I think he will. And it'll be a great feat for him. I mean, we all know that Kofi has talent. But, you know, let's see. Let's see. It's early. It's a couple of games. But congratulations. You're doing a great job, my man. And we are celebrating you. But we move on to the next hot topic. The Glasgow Rocks last year was at the bottom of the barrel and they didn't spend much budget. I think they had in 2 Americans, and it was very clear that Gareth was giving this next generation a chance there, and in particular with the Scots. He's off to a great start. He has the Glasgow Rocks in the Cup semifinals, and they're also 2-1 in the league with an impressive win off the Bristol Flyers on Sky Sports. And so, I mean, what are your thoughts on Gareth Murray being the coach of the year this season?
I think he's in the conversation for sure. You know, I think that he knew something that everybody didn't last season, which was that I'm guessing behind the scenes that they were talking about retooling at the right time, you know, so let's not be foolish and try and, you know, fight against this COVID. Let's just, you know, do enough to make sure that we're representing Glasgow. And then next year we'll give you a fair crack of the whip. We'll give you a fair budget. We'll give you a way to go. So what did he do? Rather than trying to put himself in the firing line and, you know, try and go out there and take it all on himself, he developed players. And that's paying dividends now going into this season when you can add high-level players. Jordan Johnson being the top of the tree, I would say, in that situation, that is a fantastic recruiting job on that player. I think he's unbelievable. But also as well, the guys are playing so well, people are probably forgetting that they've added Ali Fraser, who's come back and he's looked like a different player. You know, he came in that Riders situation. I think he played his part absolutely perfectly, but wasn't able to necessarily showcase exactly what he can bring to the table. Now he's back being the big dog in Glasgow, comfortable and, you know, playing at an all-star level. So, yeah, I don't see any reason why not. And he's leaning much more towards coaching, even though his whole team know that he can still play.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. He definitely has to be in the conversation. If you look at the landscape of coaches, as unfair as it is, I think Vince needs to go. Is it fair to say all four in order to be the coach of the year? People are just going to point to that budget. Or do you think if he gets three, he'll get a nod?
I think that situation all depends on what everybody else does, you know. So there's a lot of, apart from maybe Leicester, I think everybody else is still trying to figure out and trying to move those pieces. So it's still really, really early. But that budget's got to loom over your head like it does for me anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it's monstrous. And we think that they've got it right on the court this year. So why not the expectations be four instead of three? I think that they should embrace that and that should be the barometer for them.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, in order for him to get it, they have to win four. So we'll have to see. Coach Rob, I think it's one of those situations like the LeBron James effect where people just get tired of him winning it, even if they win the league. So, you know, my top two candidates right now are Gareth and Coach Lloyd Gardner. Right now at the top of the list. So I think if one of those teams can crack into the top four or maybe even top three, especially top three, I think one of those automatically gets that bid. But Dave Forrester mentioned something on the Sunday breakdown that was right on the nail. And it's exactly what I see from Gareth. I see he made a comparison of Fab Flournoy, how he just kind of picks his moment of when he puts his imprint in the game. And he reminds me of Fab's last 2 years because throughout Fab's career, he was always playing 25 plus minute. But the last 2 years, he would go some games where he would play five or he would play 25 or he wouldn't play at all. So it'd be really sporadic. And it was basically a play by need. So if they needed him and, you know, as you look at the Sky game on Friday, Gareth didn't play 1 minute, but the semifinal game, he was the hero. So, you know, that was a great comparison by Dave and exactly what I see. Gareth is just over there. He doesn't go into a game thinking what he's going to do, but he's physically and mentally ready if his services are needed and he's able to step in a game and give the team what they need. So, you know, I think he gets an edge by balancing that player coach, which he's doing a phenomenal job on. So I think you'll see his name at the top of the list at the end of the year. Congratulations to the Rocks on a great start so far this season. But the final hot topic is, we shift over to these Sky games, and I'm just going to throw a few numbers at you, viewing numbers off of YouTube. From a number standpoint, they're rising every week. So the very first game was 5.8, which is 5,800, basically. And then game two, the numbers slipped a little bit to 5.1, and then the numbers are trajectorying up. Last week in Manchester, 6.4, and then this Glasgow game is 6.5, which is blowing every game out the water, and it's only been, what, 3 or 4 days. So from a percentage standpoint, it's risen tremendously. So my question, I guess, is how important is it to have close games? Does it matter? Because every game has been a blowout, but it seems like it's not really affecting the numbers.
Interesting one. It depends how you look at it, doesn't it? You know, is that steady growth good enough for us right now to be pushing on as a league? That's probably the questions that we got to ask ourselves. And as the season goes on and as the interest starts to grow, you know, especially from that part-time audience. And what I mean by that is not your diehards, the people that are going to be there every week, but the people that are tuning in maybe for the first time, or maybe they dip in and out, then I would say that close games start to matter. But right now at the start of the year, I think we can just enjoy it. Like, we're just enjoying the show. Like, I'm enjoying watching you guys presenting. I'm enjoying the games. I'm enjoying kind of, we're all getting to know new players. We're getting to see new rotations, new teams and things like that. So at the moment, I don't think it matters. But I think as the season goes on, we just have to be careful that we pick and choose the right coverage games. But also we're a league, right? So we need to make sure that we, you know, we're showing love to everybody through that league also. So it's such a difficult balancing act. But I think for me, you know, look, the numbers are rising. And I think that's because the actual coverage is outstanding. And as the season goes on, these games are going to start to get naturally more competitive. Players are going to start to get more comfortable in the league, more comfortable in the setting of being on TV. And then I think we'll start to see that really, those numbers really ramp up.
Yeah, those are all great points. And by the way, this is not to mention that most of these games on Sky Mix and they're on television, so we don't know the numbers who's actually watching. So these YouTube numbers are additional, those that might not have the Sky package that's tuning in. But it's very positive that they're going up and growing every week. And like you said, for now, with the comms team, able to keep it entertaining to a certain degree with stories and different things while the game is out of hand. But like you mentioned, it's only going to carry so long. You know, sooner or later is going to get down to the basketball part of it, right? And the product. And so for now, the presenting, the comms, and the way the game is showed and produced is, it's fair to say, is carrying it right now. But like you say, these games will get better. I think starting with Friday, Sheffield, Newcastle, every game there is always a good one. So, but we definitely need a good one, man. We got to have something that we can repost on the socials so we can continue to sell it. But yeah, just moving on from hot topics, and we float on to my favorite part. So Jay, first question in buy or sell is, you've mentioned it, Plymouth are starting to improve tremendously. They're very competitive. We had a buy or sell early in the year, and the question was, would they win more than five games? You bought it. I sold it. I don't think they will. Maybe that's turning a little bit because the way they're performing. But the question is, let's be more specific. Can Plymouth win a game before Christmas? And I'll run out their schedule to you. They got Sharks away, Flyers away, Sharks at home, Cheshire away, Riders away, and then they wrap up the year, Bristol at home. Sorry, the question is before the new year, not before Christmas, because that Bristol game is right after Christmas. So do you buy or sell the Plymouth City Patriots winning a game before the new year?
I think that's such a difficult question for me because they're improving, they're getting better, but of course they're going to. They've got Coach James, who's an experienced coach in this league, a great coach in this league, so they were always going to get better. I think they've added some pieces, so obviously Kofi coming in has been a real improvement for them. But you've got to put it into context, the games also as well. Like the last two games that they played, there's been some players missing from those rosters that they played against. So you're always up against it. And if Kofi doesn't have that kind of big night, how close can they get to a team? So I think that that's really difficult. To flip it on the other side of the coin as well is, as talented as that calendar looks, you know, you've got to take into consideration schedule, injuries, and if somebody drops their level only by 5%, then Plymouth have a chance. So people think I'm really hard on the Patriots. So I'm gonna go with yes, they're gonna sneak a game somewhere on that schedule. And maybe, you know, because it's such a big deal on those socials to those particular fans, hopefully my little 1% input is gonna take them to a win. Posse vibes, guys. Posse vibes.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Yeah, so you're buying, and I'm right with you, man. I am buying the fact that they will sneak a game. And I got one game on the schedule I'm targeting specifically, and it's the Bristol home game right after the Christmas break. And that's we call that a trap game at Newcastle Eagles, the word that Dave and Fab used to always use. And that's potentially a trap game for the Bristol Flyers. And the reason why I say that is because their roster is so inexperienced. I mean, Josh Rogers is their veteran. That goes to show you their experience, that three out of their four Americans are rookies. And you know how it is for Americans. You get around that Christmas time and you can't wait. And it's very unlikely that they'll be going home, but they'll be in the Christmas spirit, a lot of FaceTiming back home and probably eating a little bit heavy. And they'll look at Plymouth and say, they're 0-15 of the year. We're good. And they won't be locked in. And they'll come to the Plymouth Pavilion where after that Christmas game, it'll be rocking. It always is. And Plymouth will prevail with the victory before the new year. And they will be chanting Jay Marriott's name in the stands because it was you, my friend, that gave them the positive vibes, the spirit to pursue that victory. So we're with you, Plymouth. But next buy or sell, we move on to the London Lions, going the totally opposite spectrum of winning and losing. London is off to a fantastic start. We talked about it. They got everything. But more importantly, their mindset is where it needs to be in order to be a championship team. So, Jay, Do you see London losing a game before the new year? And I'm going to run off their schedule to you. They got Newcastle away on Sky Sports December 3rd. And then check this out. Their next five games are at home against the Manchester Giants, the Leicester Riders, which is the first leg of the cup, Bristol Flyers, Sheffield Sharks, Surrey Scorchers, and then they wrap up the year away at Morningside Arena for the second leg to determine who goes to the cup final in Birmingham. Are you buying or selling?
I'm going to buy that they're going to lose a game. And here's my kind of theory is there's two names out there that you can never forget, which is Newcastle Eagles and the Leicester Riders. And they will have these games circled on their calendar. I think Newcastle are feeling a little forgotten and it's far too soon to be doing that. You know, there's lots of chatter about, you know, all these teams going to be cracking into the top three and stuff like that. We know what Fletch is like. He's not letting that happen. We know what Defoe's like. Those two themselves are going to be grabbing people by the scruff of the neck and saying, these are the games that matter. These are the games where we show up and put ourselves back on the map. And then you got to play Riders twice, you know, so if they go in home and away. And my thing is this, they completely go up a level if they get both those games. If they get both those games and they manage to clean that slate, then kudos to those guys. They have gone up a level and I'm really genuinely buying into them going for four trophies, but they got to get it done. And I'm buying that they're going to drop a game. They've got a European schedule. You're hurtling towards Christmas. This is a really tough area to go unbeaten.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm buying as well. And like you mentioned, I didn't even put in the European schedule, which I believe they have two games before the new year, if I'm not mistaken. I think that Newcastle game, I'm predicting they're going to win that game. I just think it's going to be too early for the Eagles. I think if this game is 3 or 4 weeks from now, I think the Eagles win it. But just right now with getting Brandon Peel into the lineup, we still don't know when Kyle Williams is going to be back. I just don't think they'll be ready yet, but I think it's too early. But it's hard for me to believe they're going to beat Leicester twice. And the game that I have circled is the Riders away game. Same similar thing, schedule's full. They'll be looking for a mental, physical break around that Christmas time, and I don't think they'll be ready. We know that Leicester will be locked in. They'll probably be practicing on Christmas Day because Rob will know what's at stake going to the cup final. So I'm buying. Last part of the buy or sell, really interesting stat. We knew 4-4 Ramon Fletcher led the league in scoring and assists for the first time since the 90s. But we have someone who's teetering those lines, and his name is Jordan Johnson, who is second in the league in scoring behind Dirk Williams officially, and he's second in assist with Isaiah Reese averaging one more assist than Jordan Johnson. So my question is, are you buying Jordan Johnson leading the league in scoring and assists when the season is all said and done?
No, I'm gonna sell that one. I don't think he's gonna lead the league in scoring. I think he will lead the league in assists, and I think he'll be at a high clip. I don't think he'll lead the league in scoring because he doesn't need to, quite frankly. You know, this Glasgow Rocks team are really dangerous. You know, Harris and Hillsman are starting to really kind of come together and get going as well. You've got Ali Fraser playing well inside. What does he do is he gets assists, you know, he gets assists, and I think he's a winner. And I think for that reason is, you know, why that scoring, he won't lead the league in scoring because he will want to win more than he'll want to see himself at the top of that pile.
Yeah, I guess with 3 for 3, I'm selling as well. I'm with you on the scoring part of it, but I would say that that's changed for me this past weekend because up to this point, it was very evident that the Glasgow Rocks went as far as Jordan Johnson would take them. The last two games prove that they don't need to lean on him so much. If you look at the game that they beat Bristol, where the Scots trio took over that game with Jordan Johnson having his worst game of the season. And then the Sky Sports game, you know, he had 8 assists at halftime, but I think he had 3 points. And Glasgow Rocks were in control. So now I'm comfortable saying that he won't lead the league in scoring because it won't be required. But a week ago, I would have said the only way Rocks wins is if he scores. So it's great to see those other guys stepping up with Jordan Harris and those other guys. But the assist part, I don't think he'll get close to it because Reese has so many weapons. I mean, he's either throwing an alley-oop, kicking it to the corners, or he's dumping it down to Jordan Williams for a dump off. And so he just has way more options to where he will lead the league in assists. But it's interesting. I think he'll be close, but I don't think he'll quite get there. And that wraps up our buy or sell.
Man, very nice, Mr. Lasker. Let's now jump into something a little familiar. It is Player of the Week.
It's time for the BBL Show Player of the Week.
And for me, what has been notable about this week, this has been the first week where it's been tough. Players' performances are on the rise. So it's been a little bit slower than we saw at the start of last season, but now we're getting cooking. Three players that we picked is London Lions big man Jordan Williams with 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists for a 33 index. Leicester Riders jumped on with Mark Lovin going for 32 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists for a 37 index, exploding on the big stage. And then Glasgow Rocks, Johnny Bunyan, 24 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists for a 34 index. Two players missing out. Notable winners were Naeemon Wright and Jordan Harris, who just missed out with some big performances of themselves. But there are three players for you to pick. Do not forget, on Monday, get on the Twitter. Make sure you vote for your player of the week. Every vote counts. It's been closer and closer, and more people are coming to the party. So if you hear somebody you like in there, make sure you get in vote. That's this week's Player of the Week.
And shout out to Johnny Bunyan, who gets his first nominee in the two seasons of the BBL show, and a deserving one as he's shooting over 50% from the three. So I think he's having his most efficient year this year. He's actually in the 50-40-90 split club. However, he doesn't have enough. It's either free throws or field goals. I need to go back and look at it, but he doesn't qualify in one stat. But the three, he's well over 50%. I think it's free throws because I think he's, free throws. He's 1-for-1 on the season. So I don't look for that number to shoot up because Johnny ain't trying to get near the basket. He's trying to let that thing fly. So shout out to Johnny Bunyan. But let's move the show along, get it rolling, sit back and relax and enjoy this Lasker look back. In this episode of the Lasker look back, we take a look at our past guests as we near 20,000 spins on just our audio podcast alone. We debuted this podcast exactly 14 months ago with Coach Vince McCauley of the London Lions being our very first guest. We have gotten the opportunity to interview players, coaches, presenters, comms, and owners. In that time, we have interviewed every coach in the league except for PJ, Atiba, and Creon. Maybe it's time we send out a friendly invite. We like to view our podcast as inclusive, as we've interviewed WBBL star Kennedy Leonard and had an International Women's Day episode where we featured the great Andrea Borland. Rest in peace. Corporate social responsibility has always been the top of our list, as we've had 6 specials, which include International Women's Day, Black Lives Matter, and mental health, to name a few. We make sure to show love to our retired heroes, as we've officially retired Andy Thompson, the great Eagle TJ Walker, and Scotland's finest Kieran Achara. Even legends that's graced our league and continue to represent the BBL in other leagues, such as CJ Geddes and Jay Kuznar. The league is more than just the players, as we've gotten behind the scenes with the comms team in Bristol, Plymouth, even heading over to the NBA to check in with the former writer-photographer and now Chicago Bull Joe Pynchon. No hater raid over here, as we show love to other podcasts with our friends at the Sunday Night Breakdown and High T Hoops. Of course, Jay and I are fans of specific teams and have our biases at times, but we aim to share the voices of every club as we feature the player from every BBL team. Ironically, Sharks, Eagles, and Surrey featuring the most with 4 of their players. It's tough to be a consistent every week providing you guys content and coordinating three schedules to get this recording nailed. But we appreciate every player, coach, GM, and everyone who has agreed to come on this show with little hesitation and shared their story and kept it 100. We appreciate every single one of you, all the fans, supporters that tune in every single week. Just keep rolling along with us, guys. And that is your Alaska Look Back.
Man, what a look back that was, and what a journey we have been on. So, yes, you are stuck with us, your co-hosts, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker, as we transition to talk about five players to watch. We feel like it is far too early to be talking about MVP. We're not ready to stick our necks out just yet because we understand what will happen on the socials, so we have to be sure.
Of course.
But five players to watch. I'm going to pick a few players out in terms of from numbers, especially in league play. So very, very small window of opportunity to look at these players, but very exciting nonetheless. And of course, Mr. Lasker is on the sidelines and he's seeing these players in person. We will put together a little list here of five players to watch. Okay, Mr. Lasker, we've talked about him quite a bit in this episode already, and I am just going to throw out to you, in league play, Jordan Johnson's current numbers with the Glasgow Rocks is 17.5 points per game, 11.5 assists per game, 4.5 rebounds per game. And my question to you, as we look at for our five players to watch, is do you see enough in Jordan Johnson to be challenging with the last year's MVP race of Geno Crandell and Ramon Fletcher?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jay. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, I would go as far as saying he's next up on the list. If I look at the trajectory of the point guards in the league, we set Geno and we set Fletch aside to say, okay, who's the next up and coming one out of all these exciting point guards? To me, at the top of the list is Isaiah Reese and Jordan Johnson. And I would have to give Jordan Johnson the nod just because he's doing more with a little bit of less. And it's translating into wins, what we always talk about, Glasgow having a great bounce back season. And the number one thing that stood out for me is his halftime interview. Not the yum yums and chicken, by the way, but the fact that when I asked him, he's having a slow start to the game statistically, and he was like, it doesn't matter. We're winning. It ain't about me. And that right there told me, okay, this is a guy who knows what professional basketball is about. It's more than just the numbers. It's about getting those dubs. And so for me, I would have to say yes.
Nice. You touched there on Isaiah Reese. Let's just have a look at his numbers just quickly in this small window. 18 points per game, 5.3 rebounds per game, 5.5 assists per game. And as you said, it's probably the next man up. Ramon and Geno have every right to be standing at the top of the mountain and they're there to be knocked off. But in terms of Isaiah Reese, what do you see there in a player of his importance for the London Lions? Because obviously he's been pivotal on all fronts so far this season.
Man, Isaiah Reese is a straight killer. Anybody that can push the great, the two-time former BBL MVP to the bench is saying a lot. And it don't look like he's giving up that job. I mean, he's doing a phenomenal job. He can score from all three levels. He can get to the bucket. He can hit the mid-range. And he shoots the three ball pretty consistently. And he has great size, great length, and can find open guys as he leads the league in assists. And he's doing it, and he's standing out on a stacked team. And I think it's clear that he's the alpha dog. If you watched the London Lions VT, the locker room, when it was who was the best player, it was clear. Everybody said Isaiah Reese. So, you know, that says, and then just to put the icing on the cake, I mean, did you see that move that he put on? That was one of the who did they just play? It just slipped my mind who they just played.
It was against Jules and against Surrey.
Oh, yeah, against Surrey. I mean, he was like, wop, and I mean, against one of the best on-ball defenders in the league, and he gets all the way to the cup. So when I saw that play, I was like, and we got to deal with that as well? So, I mean, yeah, he's a killer.
So I think, obviously, those two players stand out in my mind as contenders for Ramon Fletcher and Gino Crandell. But let's focus on the last year's MVP race. Do you see anything in those two players in terms of them slowing up and succeeding that title? Because if you look at Ramon Fletcher, league play, 16.3 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, 7.7 assists per game. Obviously, the team is in a dip, but is Ramon Fletcher. And then Gino Crandell, if you look right now, again, I feel like he's leading a winning team. I feel like he's matured. He's 12 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 8.5 assists per game, but also 4 steals per game. And we know he's all about the cookies. So do you see anything in those two players that are going to see them not in this MVP race this year?
I would say with Gino, I would say the flash will keep him out the MVP race, because if you look at his numbers, his scoring, his steals, and his assists, they are all up from last year. But it seems to be very little talk about Gino, and it's because of the spectacular plays, right? We don't see the D's, Reels, clips on the socials. And I think we were in agreement that probably tipped him over the edge with Fletch when it came to the MVP, because Fletch not only won, well, it was 1-1 at the time, because we have to remember that the playoff final championship isn't included in the MVP race. It was 1-1. But Fletch was leading the league in scoring and assists, which it hasn't been done in 20, 30 years. And he didn't win it. And it was because of the socials. It was because of the flash. And now Gino is doing what you kept attesting to last year. You always said guys who had flash, it was very seldom that they had substance. Now, Gino is full of just substance, but you know how it is in this day and age. It's about the highlights, man. So right now, you would think that he's having a bad year, but he's having an even better year. But I think the flash will keep him out of the conversation. With Fletch, I think it would be impossible, because how do you top that from last year? And you can't, right? And so, you know, if he doesn't top those numbers, people will say it's a bad year, even if it's a point down or a point assist down, even though it's not. And you talked about it again last year, and I called it the LeBron James effect. People are just tired of seeing Fletch there. They want some fresh meat, some fresh blood. So I think those are the two reasons that those two guys won't be in the conversation this year, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, interesting, but also exciting, and obviously notable name that is also winning games is Tyreke Armstrong. You know, I chose not to cover him because I feel like he just is, he maybe is sitting in that third bracket for me. Personally, is there anything that you see there that you would bump him up into that conversation? Because for me, I see those two 4-point guards really are genuinely going to make a huge effect on what happens in the league. But is there something you see in Tyreke Armstrong where you would replace any of those 4 players?
No, the only thing is if he can help Manchester win a trophy and get them into the top 3. If he can sneak them in the top 2, then we got something that we need to talk about. I think he's going to be a product of the Leicester Riders effect, where you got so much depth that the minutes are spread around. Manchester only has one guy averaging over 30 minutes. And so he's not going to get enough minutes to be able to put in the numbers. But if you have basketball purists who are making these votes, which are the coaches, then it should be about impact. And if Manchester wins something, they finish in the top 2 or 3, then yes. But I just think him in particular, he's too young. He's a rookie. And when you look at all these other guys, their experience, Reese is experienced, Jordan Johnson is experienced. And I just think that at some point, especially with Armstrong's size, that he hits a little wall some point of the season. And he'll bounce back from it, but he'll hit a wall. And I just think he's not experienced enough to replace one of those 4 guys.
Yeah, I tell you one thing that I haven't actually covered on the show that I loved. You had that comparison of Anthony Martin, and I was like, bam, that like really hits the nail on the head for me right there. When I kind of watch him play, and he's just kind of got that fearlessness of play and pace of play. So I think that was a great comparison. But for me, if you're in agreement, 2 of those players that I would like to put in players of the watch is Isaiah Reese, London Lions, and Jordan Johnson, Glasgow Rocks. Lock them in. Okay, 3 players that I want to focus on here, but with the main focus being on one new player within the rotations, is I want to look at Corey Johnson, Mark Lovin, and Dirk Williams' numbers, putting those 3 together. Obviously, Corey Johnson, is now being asked to really take on the load. Nobody had any doubts that he couldn't score. But right now, league play, 21 points per game, 6.3 rebounds per game, 4.3 assists per game. Kind of surprises me how much Eagles need to rely on his scoring ability at the minute. But I always thought that he would be a great blend in the Eagles offense. Dirk Williams is 21 points per game, obviously in that earlier MVP talk. But with only 5 rebounds per game and 1 assist per game, I feel like maybe that kind of hurts his stock slightly. And then if we focus on Mark Lovin, he's 19 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game and 1.5 assists per game. So we're kind of seeing some similar statistics of those three scorers. Is there anything that you're seeing about Mark Lovin that you think are going to take Leicester Riders to the next level, or something that you think that the Leicester Riders are missing by his addition? Because obviously he replaced William Lee. He's not the same player, if that's what players are expecting. He's a completely different entity. But what have you thought so far of Mark Lovin?
Yeah, he's been better than advertised. I think as he's starting to settle down, you're starting to see his talent really flourish. And when you look at who he's replaced with Lee, obviously the biggest thing that stand out is the defense, the off-ball defense. Because I think we were in agreements with Lee, it wasn't the on-ball defense that kept him in the conversation. It was the weak side blocks. You know, he was phenomenal in that area. And I haven't seen anything from Loving that gives me the confidence that he's going to be an anchor in that department. And so my only question is, when it's time to get that one stop, you know, down the stretch, can he help prevent that? And if we look at the Cheshire game, it wasn't Leicester's defense that won them the game 2 weeks ago in the cup. It was their offense, because they couldn't get stops down the stretch, which is really rare for a Leicester Riders team. They suffocate you defensively when it matters. And Cheshire was going bucket for bucket until it just was, they left too much time on the clock. And then obviously Gino, they didn't attend to scout report, let him get down the middle to a strong hand, and the rest is history. But however, on the flip side, now the Leicester Riders have the number one offense. I mean, I'll be interested to see when's the last time Leicester finished number one in offense in the BBL. If I could think of one team, maybe the Neil Watson team, but it's hard for me to remember a team that was this explosive, had this much potential, and that's when Mark Lovin comes to play. That's one area that Lee was a 12 to 15 point guy. Occasionally he'll give you 20, but Lovin has is the shot ability from the outside where he can explode like he just did against the Chester Phoenix. So, you know, you're giving up defense for more offense, but in this day and age, I mean, we've always said it from the beginning of the time, right? Better O will always be better defense. So, I think he gives up the defensive point, but I think his offense makes him even that much stronger.
Do you think that's intentional by Rob P in terms of to add some more offense? Maybe he saw something down the stretch there that he felt would have been a better direction? Or do you think this is just an unintentional situation? Because remember, we thought we had Lee in the bag, you know, and then they've had to add Loving. So is this just an adjustment that he makes as a great coach?
Yeah, I think it's unintentional. I don't think he went into the offseason saying we need more offense, because they were trying to bring Lee back. So if he was targeting Loving from the beginning, then I would say, well, actually, maybe he's looking at London's roster and he's thinking the only way that we can compete with London is if we bring amazing offensive players as well. Because no matter how great a defensive team you are, you're not stopping the London Lions. They're just too good. So, you know, you got to try to match them offensively with great offensive players, but that have grit, right? So, you know, I think it was unintentional, but I think it will help them. I think this team has a better chance of beating London than last year's team, because London has everything. You know, great defensive teams are great because they can take something away. What are you going to take away from London? Okay, you're going to take away the drive. We'll give up the open threes. You're going to take away the threes? Well, that's more space for Isaiah to throw it up to Kelly. So, you know, there's nothing that you can really take away. So I think it was unintentional.
So we've locked in three new players there in Isaiah Reese, Jordan Johnson, and Mark Lovin. We have two to add from a list that I'm going to throw at you. And I've intentionally made this awfully difficult on you, but you have to pick two existing players for us to focus on. And one player I want to start with is a player that I feel was put in a situation where he was either going to sink or swim, And I feel like he's not only swimming, I feel like this dude is walking on water right now, which is Jordan Williams for the London Lions. Ooh. So he's a player that I've always admired. He's a player that has grown. If you think about what we thought about him when he was at the Surrey Scorchers compared to just how pivotal we felt he was at the Worcester Wolves. If you look at just this small sampling of league play, 16 points per game, 10.5 rebounds per game, 8 assists per game, and a 68.4% from the field. Now, when you look at Jordan Williams as a big man, are you seeing the same growth that I am seeing within his game? And then also as well, we always knew he was a fantastic big man, passer for a big man. Are we now seeing that on the bigger stage, being able to translate, which was always going to be the question that everybody had? Does it translate to the next level? Does it translate to Europe? Is he too undersized? What do you think about those questions? And what do you think about Jordan Williams as a bona fide star now in this league? Which, by the way, as a British player.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. As a British player, you know, you have to be proud that he is standing out on a very expensive roster, talented roster. But I think it goes to show that he is a product of being around better resources. And it doesn't always translate, like you mentioned. I mean, you talked about, I always say that scoring numbers on a losing team, I don't get excited about that because that doesn't translate to success on a good team. Not all players could do it because that entires you to be more effective, more efficient with less touches. Can you still put up big numbers with less touches? All players can't do that. But on the other side of it, some players will just really explode when they get around better players, when they get around more resources. And it started with his offseason. I think it's fair to say that he was locked in. He invested in himself. He had a personal trainer that I saw on the socials that he was reposting. You look at his body, he looks in phenomenal shape. He always looked like he had a little pudge, and now he's ripped. It's all muscle now. You talk about the London Lions resources. They got player development coaches before every game. They're out there doing player development drills that I do, which I'm passionate about. That's my thing. He gets it before every game, before every practice, after practice. I don't think there's no way he was getting it at Wolves. And so he's getting better every day with this individual skill, getting confident. And then he's around better talent where you can't focus on him. You can't double him. You double him, he's one of the best big man passers in the league, hence why it's 8 assists. He can find the right guy. And so now he is getting one-on-one coverage and he's showing of how great a player he really is. And I think when he really started to really show glimpse for me was the beginning of last season when Worcester didn't have any Americans. He was the reason why the Wolves were staying afloat and he was carrying that team. And so now he has the bright lights of London. He's eating good, got a little bit more money in his pocket, and is paying dividends.
All right, let's wrap this conversation up then as our five players to watch. I'm going to put Drew under some immense pressure right now. We have Isaiah Reese on the board, Jordan Johnson and Mark Loving, three new players to watch. But of course, we can't ignore the players that have got us to the growth that we have today. If you had to pick two players from this list, Ramon Fletcher, Gino Crandell, Dirk Williams, and Jordan Williams, who are the two players, but these four players, and you've got to pick two for your current players to watch. Who are you taking?
Put my feet to the fire, huh?
The socials are ready. The keyboards are set.
I like how you've done this, right? Because you know that I still have to face these teams and guys as I'm going around all arenas. And you get to hide out there in the beautiful Gloucester Stadium behind the CEO desk where they can only attack you by Twitter. But
you
got to
let me get my kicks, you know? I got to get my kicks.
Golly. Okay, well, I'm not scared. I got to put Jordan Williams in there just because I'm interested to see if he can sustain this over the course of the season. And being British, I mean, how can you ignore that? He gets points for that, right? So then you're leaving me with Dirk Williams, Gino, and Fletch. Man, okay. I'm going to take Fletch out of there because It's not, obviously, it's not a talent thing. It's not a numbers thing. He's going to get his numbers. But I just think that this year, it'll be a different approach for him. He will be saving the best version of himself for the big games, for when it really matters. He's not going to be exerting himself against a Surrey or a Plymouth in February. That's why you have Kyle Williams and those other guys there, those rookies, to take that load off to win you those games. So then you're leaving me with Geno and Dirk. I got to put Dirk Williams in there, because how can you ignore the numbers? Above 60% from the field goal, you know, 40% from the three, 100% from the free throw line, hasn't missed a free throw, and he's leading the league in scoring. And he's proven he can do it in Europe. He just scored 30 against the best team in the group. I can't ignore that. And we have a huge sample size, right? We've had the BBL games plus the six games they played in Europe. So I got to go with Dirk Williams. And I know, you know, having three London guys in there are not ideal, but it is ideal. They got the best players. They got the most money. They should be in there. If they weren't in there, then it's a problem. So that's my five.
Very nice. So our five players to watch currently are Isaiah Rhys, Jordan Johnson, Mark Loving, Jordan Williams, and Dirk Williams. Let's lock them in. Just to be clear, Mr. Lasker has left off the two MVP race from last year, Ramon Fletcher and Geno Crandell, just to give them a little juice. That may come back to haunt us later on in the show, because let's be honest, I get tired with the same thing that you do. When you make a decision, it's on me. When I make a decision, it's on you. So we will carry forward into that regard. Before we finish out the show, though, one thing is, we are the British Basketball League, and you are the man that's standing on the sidelines and you are seeing these games. And I just want to talk, including Jordan Williams, into that conversation, some of the British players that I feel are making a huge difference. And for me, those names that pop out to me are Dan Clark, obviously, at Manchester Giants. You know, there's no denying that he goes into that segment, as well as what Coach Gardner's put around him, but he's making a huge difference to that culture. And remember, I think that that's something big for the Giants that they've focused on and they've talked about in moving forward, is having that culture correct. Jordan Williams, obviously, like I said, the sink-swim effect in London, you know, deserves a huge shout out. He's getting mentioned above those American players, which is something that we all want and aspire to within the league. Ali Frazer returning to Glasgow Rocks, giving them a huge lift inside, looks back to best, looks healthy. And then lastly, you have to add him into the equation from a statistical point of view, Kofi Joseph's impact. And like you said, being so impressive from the point of view that he hasn't stopped working out, but he hasn't been getting those game reps. What do you think about the British contingent making an impact in the league so far from what you've seen from the sidelines?
It's fair to say that this is probably the biggest impact I've seen from British players in my time in the league. And that has always been the big knock on the league. It hasn't been the Americans. I've always said this league will only go as far as the British players, because you can't have 12 Americans on a team, right? So we needed more quality Brits in the league to give it more parity, to make it stronger from 5 to 8, you know? And so that's where we've always lacked in this league. And what's made that better? The British stars coming back, the Teddy O's, the Dan Clarks, Justin Robinson's coming back to the British Basketball League. And I only see more coming as Brexit takes an effect on European basketball and Brits no longer count as a local. They will be considered imports now. So I see even more Brits sticking in the British Basketball League, which is great for the league. It makes it stronger. And so it makes for better teams, better competition. And so shout out to all the Brits that's waving the flag here for the league.
Yeah, and not to leave out a name you're familiar with and somebody we haven't given our flowers to yet is Teo Ogundembe getting his 5,000th point in the league. Yes. Yeah, Mr. Longevity, looks after himself, still looks in absolutely phenomenal shape. Give me just a brief flowers for your guy.
Yeah, a much deserving 5,000 points in the league. And like you said, it's never statistics for me. It's the longevity has to go for something, because that to me talks about your character, your professionalism, because you know, Jay, how much it takes out of you to be able to get yourself ready for every single game, every single practice. There's an investment there financially and from a time aspect. You got to be doing more than just what the team requires if you want to have a long career. And Teo is someone who's done that. I've seen that from the very beginning. We were teammates in 2011. This guy would wake up every morning with his iPad watching NBA League Pass, studying these guys. That's why you see his game kind of tailored after NBA a little bit. He's great at drawing fouls and throwing his arms out off the rip through. He got that from studying and learning the game. And when he was first here, he could literally couldn't run and chew bubble gum. He could just run in a straight line and jump in the air, and hopefully the ball falls in his hands and he's able to tomahawk it through. But now he can, on the perimeter, he can finish. He can go left. He can hit the three ball. And so I've always said it, Teo is the most improved player I've ever seen come through in my 16 years in the league, with Gareth Murray being number two as the most improved player. So shout out to Teo. Keep carrying that flag, brother.
That's it. Great job. Well, anyway, that is enough for our dulcet tones. One episode is always enough to be carrying through our voices. Guys, thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate you tuning in week in and week out. Don't forget to have your say, especially on our five players to watch. I am absolutely convinced that we have missed somebody, and somebody will poke their head above the parapet and absolutely murder us. But that is what it's all about. It's about having talking points. Next week, we got something special for you guys. Something a little geeky, which appeals to my inner nature. So until then, guys, I will let Drew lead us out.
Yeah, guys, and just for clarity, if you got an issue with the list, come at me. I'm the one that picked the team. So I know you guys like to just, your default is Jay. For some reason, they just automatically.
They're coming for me, Bubby.
I mean, I'll take the bullets for this one, Jay. And by the way, make sure that you understand correctly before you say, how could you miss such and such and such? It's not MVP. It's ones to watch. It's not the best players. It's the ones to watch, okay? So make sure you know that before you start coming after me. All right. You know we'll be next week. Same time, same place. Signing off on the show.
The show.
Thanks for listening to the BBL Show. The BBL Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBL on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.